The Son of Man will be handed over. They will kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. What do the disciples say to that? What do they say? Anyone? That's what they said. Nothing. That is exactly what they said. Nothing. They do not understand, and they are afraid to ask. Then Jesus says, "What were you talking about on the way, on the road?" And what do they say? Who's the greatest? But they don't say that, do they? That's what they were doing. But what do they say? How do they answer Jesus? Yeah, I had to read it several times. They don't say anything. They do not fess up to that. They had been arguing who's the greatest. And so they are ashamed, and they say nothing. It's not surprising, really. Fear and envy are emotions that make us look small, and they make us look mean, and we instinctively hide them. But they are also universal emotions, and we all feel them. We are hardwired to look for comparisons. We are hardwired to notice inequalities. And envy has a positive effect, can have a positive effect. It can make us work harder to be more successful. Instead of wanting something more for ourselves, though, however, it often works the other way. Envy often creates resentment and even rage. And instead of making more of ourselves, we just want to bring others down. The Germans have a word for that. Schadenfreude, Schadenfreude. Do you know this word? It comes from damage and joy. Schadenfreude is a shameful joy I feel when you are damaged. No wonder I don't want to admit that. Frederick Buechner says it this way: envy is a consuming desire to have everybody else be as unsuccessful as you are. Today we have a whole new way of experiencing that, don't we? And it's called social media. Yeah, that's right. On Facebook, everybody's lives look so cool. They just look so great. You know, they got the trips, they got those meals, they got the kids' achievements, all that. And that's where we get that saying, Facebook lives. Our Facebook lives. Guaranteed to create envy. But looking good enough and successful enough on the outside will not make you feel good enough on the inside. You cannot compare your insides with someone else's outsides and win. You cannot compare your insides with someone else's outsides and win. Life is more complicated than that, isn't it? In truth, some of us will be more successful than others. Some will be less successful. And most of the time, for most of us, we will be successful sometimes, but not always. It's more complicated. And few of us get through life without some chips and cracks in our glossy Facebook veneer. In Japan, they have a kind of pottery called kintsugi. Kintsugi is pottery that was broken. Can you see the cracks? Yep. And it's mended by filling the cracks with gold or silver. In the eyes of the Japanese, it is now transformed. It is not only whole, but more whole. It is not only beautiful, but more beautiful than originally. Faced with the disciples' silence, Jesus sees their envy and shame and fear. He sees the cracks, and he does not condemn. He does not fire them and go get better disciples, smarter ones. Yeah. He does not say, "Don't be successful." He wants them to be successful. And so he tries to teach them again. He tries to teach them a truth that will free them from that fear and shame that have them so stuck that they're just inside themselves and they can't even see outside of their own obsession. But he does it in a very odd way. He takes a child and he puts it in the midst of them, and he says, whoever welcomes one of these in my name welcomes me, and not just me, but the one who sent me. The one who sent me. Once I screwed up really badly at a job. It was a job I liked a lot. And I got fired. They did go find someone better. And that's still hard to say because I was shattered. And I looked for healing and mending in a very odd place. I went to a daycare center. Yeah, the pay is low. She's laughing. You probably, yeah, you know this. The pay is low. There are no accolades. There's no one to build you up. And the little ones that you're caring for will not remember you 2 years later. Not even that. Little children are messy, they are urgent, they are demanding, they are inconvenient, and I like them. That's from someone who likes them. I was in the wobbler room, and that's the one-year-olds, you know, kind of wobbling. Lunch is over and swept up off the floor where most of it lands. 13 wet and poopy diapers are changed, and it is nap time. Nap time. Whew. We are on the floor trying to get 13 babies to fall asleep at once. And I have one leg thrown over one that likes to crawl away, and I'm patting this one softly on the back, and I'm thumping little Jojo hard on the butt, because that's what Jojo likes. He likes a blanket over his head, and he likes a good thumping. So you're stroking, thumping, leg. Yeah, that's what it's like. I'm telling you. This was a funny place to run for redemption. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Thump, thump, thump. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Thump, thump, thump. And pretty soon, a little hand snakes out from under that blankie and pats me on the butt. Yeah. Pat, pat, pat. Thump, thump, thump. Pat, pat, pat. Thump, thump, thump. It felt like a benediction. Pat, pat, pat. Let go of your fear. Pat, pat, pat. Let go of your resentment. Pat, pat, pat. Let go of your shame. You are enough. You are good enough. You are a child of God. And there on the floor in the toddler room, I welcomed God. Grace was given and received. Welcome the child, and you welcome the one who sent me. What kind of God hears our shame and brokenness when we cannot even say it, when we are silent, and doesn't condemn, but calls us to be transformed, to hand over our fear and put to death our unholy envy, so that what is raised up in us is a new wholeness? What kind of Messiah makes beautiful in his eyes our cracks and mends them with his own life, so that we are whole enough and free enough to reach out beyond ourselves and connect with others and serve others? Because it must come from there. What kind of God promises that when we do that, we will come face to face with God? We will come face to face with God. In a few days, our Ukrainian family arrives. Parents and children, 8 children, ages 4 to 20. They are being put down here in the midst of us. They are likely afraid. They will have needs that will sometimes be urgent, messy, inconvenient, and exhausting. And yet, the people in this congregation are working, even this afternoon, to make a place for them, to welcome them in. Welcome one such as these, and you welcome me, and not only me, but the one who sent me. You might want to be there this afternoon. Grace will be given, and grace will be received. Amen.